Questions and then share a little bit of what's happening in our lives and a little bit of background for anyone that happens to be meeting us for the first time or has forgotten that you met us before. If you're anything like us now, we have a good memory. It's just very short. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19 says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Paul's message to the Ephesians. For Donna and I, we've been on quite a life journey. And for those of you that remember, we were reminiscing, trying to figure out, especially with Betty, how far back our history with Westport goes. And we sort of figured it out that it's somewhere in the mid-80s. We haven't quite figured out whether it was the early 80s or the mid-80s, but that was the first occasion we had to visit here. And then later on, we had another opportunity to visit in Westport and report to you some of our activity as missionaries on the very first Sunday that your pastor, Bob, joined you. It was interesting. We were reminiscing last night that we were here and actually were speaking in the church and allowed him to come and be pastor of the church, but he didn't get to preach the first Sunday we did. So that gives you a little bit of a nutshell there. Our background and our personal journey is somewhat a little bit of the context of what I want to share this morning concerning God's love, because we have experienced it excuse me, in so many ways over the past years. Don and I were married in 1976 in Toronto, having met in Colombia in 1974. We were both on short-term missions trips, and then we returned to Medellin, Colombia in 76, in December of 1976, spent 18 years there as missionaries, and then in 1994, I was invited to become part of our home staff in our national office in Guelph, Ontario. But while we were in Colombia, we lived through some pretty significant years. There was a period of time when Pablo Escobar's name was in the news, and the drug wars and the insecurity and just a whole number of things. And we saw a lot of hardship and suffering in those years, both inside the church and outside the church. There was just a period of time when people suffered physically and emotionally and so forth. And in the midst of that, we saw the blessing of God in raising up, especially amongst the middle upper class, a very strong church movement, which today is numbering about 14 churches in the city of Medellin. When we saw it start with one church, we never envisioned what God was going to do. And it's emotional because he gave us a little piece of that at the very beginning. But today, the movement of those churches, the leadership of those churches, is impacting that city in just a tremendous way. And the gospel has really penetrated a difficult component of the strata of that society. The poor people responded to the gospel much more readily than the affluent did. And so today it's just exciting as we watch, yes, from a distance now, but seeing what God is doing. And after I was back in Guelph in the home office in the International Missions Department, about 5 years in to that journey, I was asked if I would get involved in giving leadership to our FAIR program. At that time, it was known as Fellowship Agency for International Relief, and that became a component of various aspects of ministry that I was involved in at that point in time. Today, the fair department exists as a separate department from our international missions ministry, and yet we work very closely together. A lot of our humanitarian social ministry that we do in the fair department, and fairly, you know how churches change their names? Well, we change names in the fellowship too, and now it's known as fair still, but it's Fellowship Aid and International Relief. They took away the agency component because we sort of restructured and formed departments. And as of this moment, Donna and I are involved with the fair department half-time. Just to give you a snapshot of family very quickly, we moved to Drumheller, Alberta. As I mentioned earlier, we are living in Drumheller, Alberta. I intended to retire at 65. The Lord didn't intend that. And so things stretched on, and finally, 3 years ago, we worked out a plan with our national office that I could move with Donna to Drumheller, Alberta, and work from home, and that it was going to be half-time. And that has allowed us to be close to 4 grandchildren. So did the Lord call us to Drumheller, or did the grandchildren? Well, we'll leave that up to you to decide, but the grandchildren were a big part of it. And so we're there, we're settled in. We've gone from Guelph, which is now about 120,000, to Drumheller, which is between 8 and 10,000. So we're learning a little bit of what it is to be in a small town like Westport. Just that sort of that feeling of, we lost a lot of the amenities. A lot of the big box stores are an hour and 15 minutes away. And prairie mentality. Dare I say in Ontario, Albertan mentality. lots of interesting things that we've been adjusting to over the last 3 years. But we have a lovely church home there, a church of about 100, Fellowship Baptist Church there. It's been growing slowly, and they have welcomed us with open arms. Being close to the grandchildren has been great. We can help out a little bit, as grandparents love to do, with little school errands and things like that. And so our journey has taken us into another stage, but we're just looking forward to see what God has in the next stages of our life journey and our ministry journey. Our fair department has a mission statement. And that mission statement is, as you see up there, it exists to alleviate human suffering and social injustice. One of the things that I emphasize is the fact that we are alleviating it, we're not eradicating it. One of the facts is that our world will have suffering and social injustice until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. But we do have a mandate to alleviate it. We have a mandate to engage, and so that's what, as a fair department, we are attempting to do on a regular basis. One of the things is emergency relief. The picture you see there is from 2010 in Haiti, where we got involved after the major earthquake. One of our most recent engagements was with the Bahamas, the Dorian hurricane. And praise God for our fellowship churches. We've raised over $40,000 towards helping in the restoration in the Bahamas. But FAIR is engaged quite often in anything along this line of political, natural disasters. And you see the list there of the things that we would engage with, and often through partnerships. We often get involved with other organizations that are already on the ground, organizations that have a foot in the door, so to speak, before an event happens. And so we will partner with them. Often our major part in emergency relief is fundraising. We don't actually send teams in on the ground in those first days, but what we do is try and raise funds for the restoration of scenarios that develop from these political disasters and natural disasters. We also have ongoing projects which we support on a regular basis. And so FAIR, from general giving and from specific giving, is able to help projects, many of them in some way connected with our missionaries, other projects that aren't connected with our Fellowship International missionaries, but have been brought to our attention, maybe by a church here in Canada. The picture there you see of Don Don, Haiti. We have a feeding program. We're feeding about 850 children one meal a day on a regular basis. And that is funded from Canada originally, from our churches. Now, a big portion of that has been and will grow to be funded in Haiti. There are over 20,000 pineapple plants that have been planted, and that is going to generate a revenue right in Haiti itself, and of course it's generating Haitian employment. And so we're looking to have that program become sustainable. On the other side of the screen there, you have Shakarpur Christian Hospital as another example, a ministry to women and children, heavily focused on the obstetrics and gynecological area. That ministry has gone on for many years. We subsidize their operation as a charity hospital on a regular basis. We continue to do that, although in Pakistan there's a lot of resistance, there's a lot of challenge in that ministry in these days because of the political scenarios and so forth. But praise God, we have that opportunity to be involved. And then in the center there you see Casa Hogar. Casa Hogar translates house, home. And it's a family environment ministry to street kids, kids that are taken off the street. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we move forward and use it as some illustrative material as we look in 1 John chapter 4. So I won't delve into that, but there's 31 children at Casa Hogar at the moment, fluctuates between 30 and 40, and they're actually enjoying a tremendous level of security, opportunity for education, having their health needs met, and receiving spiritual guidance that was totally not a part of their lives while they were on the street. When we look at Casa Hogar, we find Casa Hogar as a good illustration of how we can extend our hand and express the love of God. And that's where I want to focus this morning, on our faith and our actions. One of the things that Scripture clearly teaches is that a true believer and a child of God does not and cannot separate their actions, their deeds, from their words and what they say. You can't separate the two, a true believer. Or in other words, what we say we believe must be affirmed by our actions, what we do. So it's important for us to understand, in the context of God's love, how that can be a reality in our lives. If our faith isn't fleshed out in our actions, it generates a context in which the reality and the sincerity of our faith can and should be called into question. And that's difficult to accept, but in reality, if we look clearly at Scripture, that's where Scripture leaves us. That we can call into question the faith of an individual when actions and words don't line up. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. A verse we all know. But have we thought about what that's really saying to us? And especially that first phrase, for God so loved the world. If we truly understand God's love, then in the outworking of our faith, we will love and respond to the needs of a hurting world. We really will. If we can really grasp what it means for God to have loved the world in the gift of his Son. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And there you have the text, and I'm just going to read it through quickly again. This is a different version from what we read earlier. But I want to remind you of a couple of phrases, and I'll just pause to highlight them as we move through this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That little phrase, God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John also wrote in chapter 13, verse 35 of the Gospel of John, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's interesting, John has this theme of the love of God all through his writings. You can look at the Gospel of John, you can look at 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation. It comes through in all of his writings. And I want this morning just to very quickly break apart this theme of the love of God into three areas and do it in the context of the triune Godhead. The Father, it says in Scripture, God is love. The Son is the expression of God's love. And the Spirit is God's love at work. Our capacity to love emanates from his presence indwelling us. So let's just expand on this very quickly for a few moments. There you have the three of them. The Father, God is love. The Son, God's expression and model of love. The Spirit, God's love at work in and through us. So first of all, the Father, God is love. It's his very nature. It's not something he does, which is the way we so often think about love, but it's rather who he is. He is love. It's not a feeling as we humanly define love. Love's a choice. It's not an action. It's a choice and an action. 1 Corinthians 13, patient, kind, not arrogant, not jealous, bearing all things, not selfish. God's love is directed towards others. God is love, and it's directed by our Heavenly Father towards others. He's the very essence of love. His love is not determined by the object he loves, you and me, but rather by the reality that he is love. We often think of love in that context of the object. We often tend to decide whether we're going to love or not love based on the object. But that's not God. His love's unconditional. Well, maybe we need to ask the question quickly. Is it really unconditional? Or is it more so that the conditions have been met in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fact that he gave his Son that we might have life, as we read in John 3:16. It's not been met by you or me, but it's been met by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, here in the world, we use this term unconditional love in contrast to conditional love. I want to just illustrate very quickly this aspect of love, conditional and unconditional love. And in the Colombian culture, this is very prevalent. So as we ministered in Colombia, we saw this almost to an extreme at times. Have you ever heard the following? Or do I dare say, have you said the following? I will love you if. I will love you when. I will love you because. The speaker's declaring that their love is It's conditional. It's conditional upon the action or the response of the object. The person or the child will receive the love. A choice is being made to extend or not extend love based on the recipient of the love. So it's very common in Colombia. A mommy would say, a mother would say to their child, I will love you if you pick up your toys. I will love you if you eat your food. How many times have we gotten caught ourselves maybe not saying it in quite those words, but that's really what we're communicating. In the Latin culture, this is a very common thing. You know, our world needs to be introduced to a Heavenly Father who is love and who loves unconditionally. The father image that exists out there so often is a father image based on our biological father. It's a broken one. It's a broken image. And our biological fathers often have failed us. We as fathers have often failed our children. And the image they have of our Heavenly Father is distorted because of it. God is love. His love is unconditional. He loved you and loves you in all the messiness of your life. He loves the sinner. His love's unconditional. So, if you were to turn to the person next to you right now, you could safely say, He loves you as you are. Husband to wife, father to mother, son to parents, daughter to parents. He loves you as you are. It's amazing, isn't it, husbands and wives? He loves you as you are. It's unconditional. But just to be clear, he loves within the reality or the context of his holiness. And so there's a situation that we have to take into account. And that is that this love, the fact that God is love, does not imply universal salvation. Because God's love is within the reality or the context of his holiness. Therefore, to be true to his character, he must punish sin. The condemned are going to suffer eternal condemnation. At the same time, because he's holy, he must punish sin. He cannot permit it in his presence. The Bible clearly states and speaks to the fact that if there is true love, there will be true and faithful discipline. Our Heavenly Father chose to send His Son to die for our sins. He is love and has expressed that love in His Son. And so we go to the second point here, and that is the fact that the Son is God's expression and model of love. True love seeks to express itself. Just look at any young couple, engaged or recently married. Those are the best illustrations. Some of us don't illustrate it when we get as old as I am as well. But the truth of it is that love does express itself one way or the other. It's just the nature of love itself. And so because God is love, he had to express himself. He had to express that love, that aspect of his nature. And so we find that it was expressed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. That was the greatest expression of true love in all of history. In a couple of months, we're going to celebrate the Easter story once again, right? And Jesus modeled for us how true love is to express itself in a tangible way to a hurting world. He gave his life. He gave his life for us. 1 John 4:9-10 says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Apostle John in chapter 15 of his gospel says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Christ willingly went to the cross. But Jesus didn't only express God's love in his death. The fact is, he modeled it in his earthly journey. So often we get focused on the fact that God's expression of his love, the Father's expression of his love, was in Christ on the cross, his death and his resurrection. But if you look at the life of Christ while he was on earth, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus healed the sick, the leper, the blind, the lame. He raised the dead. Jesus had compassion on the 4,000, the 5,000. He fed them. And he did it without respect of persons, ethnicity, social strata, wealth, but always within the reality or context of his holiness. When we look at our ministry in Casa Hogar, in Honduras, and this is a ministry that Donna and I have been quite engaged with in giving some leadership project management to it. These 30-some kids that are in this home are a tremendous opportunity to show how the love of Christ can impact lives. And how, as Christ modeled this, we are challenged to model it too. These kids come off the streets. There are thousands of homeless kids on the streets in Honduras. The kids that are in Casa Hogar are kids that have come through the equivalent of the family and child services like you would see here in Ontario. They're kids that are directed there. They're all part of the system in a sense. We do everything there in this legal context. But these kids are kids that have been born of a mother possibly that has been in drugs, alcohol, so they have the symptoms. Some cases, fetal alcohol syndrome. Other cases where the mind has been affected by the drugs that the parent took. The parent has abandoned the children on the street. They could be of, we could say, Honduran ethnicity. Some of them are darker skinned than others. Some are lighter skinned than others. So there's this whole mixture here, this whole opportunity to minister into these hearts and lives and show them what true love is all about. And for us as a fair department, as fellowship churches, we're privileged. And this is one of various ministries and that we're involved with and engaged with because God is love. He's expressed his love and he's modeled it in Christ, and we are therefore motivated and encouraged to carry on and to carry through and be an example. And we're so thankful for our fellowship churches. In the ministry in Casa Hogar, we have been thrilled to see the sponsorship because these children are sponsored. The cost of this ministry is sponsored from within Canada. A year ago, we had initiated promoting this ministry. And when we started promoting it over a period of about 8 years prior, we had about 97 sponsorships. God has blessed us in doubling that number almost in the last year. And so we've got this growing ministry, this growing opportunity to impact these kids' lives. We provide education for these kids. It's a primary part of the ministry to give these kids a future by giving them an education. And we actually work with these children and allow them to be supported right through university if they show they have the academic skills to graduate from university. If not, we try and point them in the direction of opportunities for vocational training. But our churches in Canada have stepped into this ministry, and you see there in these pictures, the church in Ontario referred to there is our Eastwood St. Thomas Church. Drumheller, sports equipment. And the opportunity for individuals across Canada to just simply sponsor at $35 a month. This is an expression, as Christ was the model, for us to be able to engage and show the love of Christ. There's nothing greater than that kind of an expression where we tangibly touch the heart and the life of someone else. Christ is our role model. Christ's love to the family of God and the world around us is to be expressed by us. Churches across Canada have been a great example in this, as I've said, because they get involved in all these different facets, and Casa Hogar is one of them. I'm just using that one as an illustration. There's also the present opportunity right now, and on the table at the back, there's some literature you can pick up later. The Rescue Me, Cyber Sex, the Philippines, children rescued from the cyber sex scenarios that are developing in the Philippines. And we have actual stories of the Canadian side of that where they are being used to stream in Canada cyber sex porn videos. And we're partnering fair with IJM. So it's not just Honduras with Casa Hogar, but there's various ministries and opportunities. These are expressions of God's love. So, of course, we're left with the big question. As our Father loves the world unconditionally and we are to model what Christ has modeled for us, where do we get the capacity to do it? And that's our third point, the Holy Spirit. You see, Scripture very clearly says in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God's love is in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so for us, we have the capacity, not in and of ourselves. And I know for you, if it's anything like it is for me, it's very difficult to go out often and love the unlovely. It's not the easiest thing in the world to love someone that is maybe not quite as cleanly or maybe not quite as well established educationally or whatever. But we have a capacity because of the Holy Spirit residing within us. Love's the source from which compassion flows. And if God's love hadn't been poured into us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we would not have that compassion that we must have. Loving one another within the family of God is the foundation upon which we can build the capacity to love a lost world. You see, it starts at the family level first, folks. And then it extends out into the world. In 1 John 3, in the previous chapter to where we were reading Scripture, it says we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. There's the model. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone else has enough money to live well and sees a brother or a sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. One of the most powerful expressions of the gospel message is when we express God's love to one another and also to a hurting and devastated world. There's nothing more powerful. If you think through experiences where you've just expressed a little bit of love or compassion to someone and how they've responded to realize, why do you do that? Why are you engaging? And I know as a church, you engage with your community here. I hear the stories as we have the privilege to stay in Bob and Michelle's home and we talk about what's happening within the church and what's happening within the community. Those expressions, folks, are so important. And it's so important that we have that same expression beyond our community into our country and into our world. Let me say this as I draw this to a close. We need to realize that God doesn't always even though he lives us loves us unconditionally, step into our hardship and our suffering and remove it. Sometimes he lets us journey through it, just like a earthly father doesn't always step in to rescue their child. Why? Because we need to grow. We need to learn. And sometimes that experience of going through the hardship or the suffering, he loves us unconditionally through it, but he doesn't step in to remove us from it. And sometimes he doesn't even remove the recipient of our love totally from their situation. And so, let's just quickly ask ourselves a few questions of application. First of all, have you experienced the Father's love through a decision to accept the gift of eternal life that Christ made available through his work on the cross? If you haven't experienced the Father's love, if you haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior, that's the first step. That's where the relationship starts. And then secondly, do you model the love of Christ in your daily life and actions? I can't answer that question for you, but you can. Are you an example of how the Father is love through the expression of that love in his Son and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? And then I just challenge you with something very down to earth. What will your response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit be this week when an opportunity to express God's love presents itself? And so I want to leave you with a challenge to consider, and that is simply picking up some literature on the back table. There's a brochure there on child sponsorship. There's a brochure there if you want to know a little bit more about FAIR itself as an organization or as a department of our national fellowship. But this is the most important one that I'm going to point out this morning, and that's an opportunity for child sponsorship. It's an opportunity at Casa Hogar. Some summary of information there. There's a little form on the back. I don't want you to sponsor a child if that's not what God's calling you to do. But if he is, that's a way that you can express the Heavenly Father's love. And I can assure you of this. In our program with our kids in Honduras, if you want a child praying for you from Honduras, sponsor a child. Because they're all aware of their sponsors. And every night in their devotional time, they specifically pray for their sponsors in Canada. You need prayer? Sponsor a child. It's a great way to do it. $35 a month is what we suggest. But we know that God will lay on your heart whatever he wants from that. Our Heavenly Father is love. These kids are experiencing love in a tangible way. Tremendous opportunity. Donna and I have been privileged, either just myself or Donna with me, to be down there sometimes up to twice a year, once a year. We've got all kinds of things going on there. I could stand here and tell you of all kinds of projects that are happening right now. We've got partner churches involved with supporting Melody, our missionary there. We've got ministry things in all variety of ways happening. But our time is up. I've gone over time. But I'm going home, and you can have that out with Pastor Bob. But my heart is that we would model the love of Christ. Heavenly Father, you've given us the perfect model in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of the fact that you are love and that you love unconditionally. Father, help us to love unconditionally. Help us to step out into the world around us and have that world recognize who you are and the significance of having a personal relationship with you through the fact that we express your love
in tangible ways, whatever that might be and however you might call us to that. But may we respond to your word, and may we respond to your voice. May our motive be pure in each and every situation you bring into our lives, that you would receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.